Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Just as wonderful things happen when you fast the right way, terrible things happen when you fast the wrong way. It's such a problem that there are at least 7 places in Scripture that warn of the dangers of fasting the wrong way. Isaiah 58, Jeremiah 14, Zechariah 7, Mark 2, Luke 18, and 1 Timothy 4, and here in Matthew 6. If you want to follow in your Bible, we're in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting.
It is so easy for something like fasting, an external physical ritual kind of a thing, to turn into just an empty religious ritual with no connection to the heart, or even to become an expression of a sinful heart, which we'll see is what happened here. And so Jesus warns about that, and the outline of this text is very simple. It just has 2 points. Point number 1, don't fast the wrong way, and point number 2, fast the right way. That's Jesus' outline. So that's what we're going to do. First, don't fast the wrong way. Don't fast for human applause. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting. Now last week, the question came up in the Q&A about how is this hypocrisy to fast and look like you're fasting? And it's not hypocrisy to fast and pretend you're not fasting, to look normal. Because isn't hypocrisy is acting, right? That's what the word means, acting. Putting on an act. If I'm fasting and I look like I'm fasting, that's not an act. I'm looking like what I am. And if I look different from what I'm doing, then isn't that hypocrisy? So how is this? And why is it that righteous people in the Old Testament, they are putting ashes on their head and they're making it obvious to everyone around them that they're fasting? Why is that okay? When Jesus said, don't do that. Don't disfigure your face. Forgo the oil. The answer to all that is easy to understand if you understand the purpose of fasting. Remember, the most basic function of fasting is to humble your soul. That's what fasting is for. The hypocrites were hypocrites because they weren't humbling their souls. When you fast, what you're saying is, I'm trying to humble my soul. They were actors because they were fasting, but they weren't humbling their souls. In fact, just the opposite. They were showing off. They disfigured their faces so that people would be impressed with how spiritual they were. Anytime you're showing off your humility, obviously, you're not humble, right? Showing off is a function of pride, not humility. The reason they're hypocrites is because fasting is not just going out without food. Fasting is going without food for the purpose of humbling your soul. And so they're hypocrites because they're pretending to do that when they're not doing that. What could possibly be more hypocritical than showing off your humility? The Pharisees fasted twice a week. You know that? Every Monday, every Thursday. Why Monday and Thursday? They said it was because those were the days that Moses traditionally ascended and descended on Mount Sinai. They made that up. They don't know when he went up and down, but that sounds pretty spiritual, but if you do a little digging around the historical context, you find something else that's interesting. Monday and Thursday happened to be the market days when everybody was there in town. You see, everything the Pharisees did was just for maximum number of people to see them and be impressed with them for their acts of humility. Look at me, everybody. I am the prime example of how you should be because I have mastered humility. That's what they're doing. Putting your fasting on display to impress people is hypocritical because you're claiming to be humbling yourself when, in fact, you're puffing yourself up. So, This is why Jesus was always against ritualistic fasting. Pharisees fasted every Monday, Thursday as a ritual. It was a ritual, regardless of what was not. It didn't have anything to do with what was in their heart. It wasn't that they were especially fed every Monday and every Thursday. They just didn't, whatever was in their heart, they just, whether they were happy, sad, repentant, unrepentant, didn't matter. They would fast just because that's the day. And rituals that have no connection to the heart are worse than worthless. Worse than worthless. That goes for any religious ritual. That is the perversion of religion that Jesus so adamantly preached against and hated. Absolutely hated it. He hated religion that didn't touch the heart. And that was what so much of Judaism had become at that time. Their system, the Judaistic system at that time, it was a lot like the Roman Catholic system of our day, where there's a belief that rituals themselves bring grace from God regardless of what's in your heart. You see that in the fast. You know, they have a fast. The Catholics have a fast during Lent. That's pure ritual. You know, Tracy told me in her town when she grew up, the McDonald's had fish filet sandwiches for 25 cents every Friday during Lent because the Catholics were fasting and they weren't allowed to eat meat, but fish doesn't really technically count as meat, so they would come to McDonald's and get fish burgers for 25 cents. There are actually Catholic churches that put on a big fish fry, Friday fish fry on the Friday, on Good Friday. So all the Catholics, the fasting Catholics, can come out and have a big all-you-can-eat fish fry. That's the, and you see the same thing in Islam. During the whole month of Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan, Muslims are supposed to fast, but technically they only have to do it during daylight hours. And so as soon as the sun goes down, they can eat all they want. Some people even call it the feast of Ramadan, because by the time they get done eating after the sun goes down, there are many Muslims who gain weight during the month of Ramadan, just like we do over Christmas and Thanksgiving, because they eat so much after dark. A ritualistic fast, complete with loopholes that allows you to pig out all you want, is a joke. It has nothing to do with the heart and is therefore worthless. If you're fasting because of something that's in your heart, then you're not going to gorge yourself on fish burgers and french fries and big feast after dark. If you eat on a technicality, then it's not a fast. It's not coming from the heart. Any effort to humble yourself that doesn't involve the heart is a joke. Joel 2:13. God says, rend your hearts, not your garments. The word rend means to tear. Those people were tearing their clothes as a show of their repentance, and their hearts were still hard. And God says, why don't you just leave your clothes alone and do that to your heart? Anything you do on the outside that doesn't match your heart is hypocrisy, it's detestable to God, and it's worse than worthless. That's why God refused to pay attention to the fasting of the Israelites in the book of Isaiah. Their fasting was disconnected from their hearts, and so it was worthless. They would fast as an act of great devotion and humility, and then while they were fasting, their fasting would cause them to become irritable and unloving towards those around them, and they would mistreat people around them. Isaiah 58:3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? And then God says, yet your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. It's absurd to say, I'm going to turn my back on food in order to humble myself in repentance over sin, but I'm not going to turn my back on the sin itself. That's ridiculous. So you can't continue in a sin while you're fasting and expect the fast to mean anything. The thing that makes fasting hypocritical is when it doesn't match what's happening in your heart. It's a disconnect. That's why when they came and asked Jesus, why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus' answer basically is because it wouldn't match what's in their heart. It would be hypocritical for them to fast because they're happy. It's silly for them to fast when they're happy. It wouldn't match. Later on, I'm going to be taken away. Then they'll be sad. Then it'll match. Then they'll fast. But you don't want to do anything on the outside that doesn't match the inside. So then what about people like David or Daniel who made their fast obvious? Were they violating this? Jesus said, do it in private. No. If they were wrong to do that, then we'd have to say Jesus was wrong, and Jesus gets no reward for his fast, because we all found out about that, right? Fasting is just like praying and giving. The issue is not whether or not people see it or know about it, or even if they're impressed with it. The issue is your motives. Jesus said not to pray in public like the hypocrites, but to pray in private instead. That doesn't mean Jesus was in sin when he prayed in public. It's fine to pray in public, fast in public, give in public, as long as what's forbidden is doing that in order, for the sake of causing people to be impressed with how spiritual you are. That's what's forbidden. And so, if you want to test your motives, you say, well, are my motives with giving right? Are my motives with praying right? Are my motives with fasting right? Then try doing it in private, and that'll test your motives. And see, when you do it in private, if it feels like a waste of time. Anytime you ever do anything that nobody knows about, and it feels to you like it's a waste of time because nobody knows about it, nobody appreciated it, nobody said thank you to you, you know that you're working for human applause rather than divine pleasure. Because if you're working for divine pleasure, then it's irrelevant whether people notice it or not. So not all fasting has to be top secret any more than prayer has to be top secret. Some of it should be secret, however, so that you can test your motives. That's the point. So, don't do the wrong kind of fasting. Don't fast to impress people. Don't do any religious ritual to impress people. It must be connected to the heart. It must be real. If it is, then it's fine for people to see it and be encouraged by it, as long as it's not for that purpose. Okay, so the wrong way to fast is impress people. Let's look at the right way to fast. Verse 17. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So he says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. That's the oil was, again, like we found last week, it's like it should be translated lotion. It was to keep the skin moist in a very dry climate, and it was a part of just natural grooming and refreshment. Wash your face, put on the lotion like you normally do. It would be uncomfortable in such a dry place to go without the lotion. And so if you're going for that real pitiful, disheveled look, and you want people to be impressed with how humble you are, then you'll go without the lotion. And so Jesus says, go ahead and wash up, shave, put the lotion on, get yourself cleaned up, do your normal grooming so no one will know that you're fasting, and see if it feels like a waste of time. Fasting is between you and God. It must be directed to God. In Zechariah 7:5, it says when you fast, it has to be toward God. Toward God. Unto God. All acts of worship are between you and God. All forms of worship. Any act of religion designed to impress people for self-glorification is the opposite of worshiping God, because really it's worshiping self. Right? And that's true whether you're talking about praying or giving or fasting or even, get this, eating or drinking. Did you know that eating that's not done for God's sake is sin? I just mentioned Zechariah 7:5. Let me read it to you. It's a fascinating passage. It says, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for my sake that you fasted, God says? Answer, no, they were not fasting for God's sake. They were doing it for their own glory. So he rebukes them because they were fasting, but they weren't doing it toward him. Literally in the Hebrews, was it really toward me that you were fasting? No. And then the next verse, the same thing was true of their eating and their feasting. Verse 6, when you were eating and drinking, were you not just feasting toward yourself? For your own sake, they committed two sins, fasting and feasting. Those are their two sins, because they fasted for their own glory and not for God's, and they feasted for their own sake, not for God's glory. Everything we do in life, should be worship, including even eating and drinking. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything. So our eating and our fasting and our praying and our giving, everything else should be for God's glory, not our glory. You say, well, then why aren't we told to eat and drink in secret? Well, because eating, even if you eat in the right way that glorifies God, doesn't really impress anybody, right? I mean, nobody shows off, watch how spiritual I am, you know, and they start, it's just not the typical way to show off, right? So we don't have to worry about that. But fasting, people are impressed with that. So you have to do it in secret sometimes to test your motives. If there's any difference at all in your acts of worship when people are watching you than when you're in private, then you're better off to just do it in private because your motives are probably messed up and you're worshiping yourself, you're getting glory for yourself rather than God. If there's no difference at all between what you do in public and private, and there's no temptation at all, you don't care at all whether people are impressed or not, then go ahead and do it in public because it'll be a great encouragement to the rest of the saints.
I hope you can make it back next time because that's when we'll get into the promise Jesus made about being rewarded for the right kind of fasting. Do you fast in order to get reward from God? What did Jesus mean by that? We'll tackle that next time, but for now, this principle from today's podcast applies to a lot more than just fasting. It applies to everything in the Christian life. It's good to do righteous things publicly. In fact, Jesus commanded that. Let your light shine before men so they may see your acts of righteousness and glorify God, Matthew 5:16. If that's your motive, then it's a good thing to show your righteousness. But if it's for your own glory, to impress people, that's when it becomes evil. So ask yourself, is there anything in your life that might possibly be in that category? Something you're doing to impress people, or to impress a certain person, or to gain favor in the eyes of men somehow? It's hard to say for sure because our motives can be so mixed and so subtle, but if there's anything you even suspect, try doing it in private and see if it feels like a waste of your time. That's the test Jesus gave us.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.